Well, I'm really pumped to start what we're calling 21 Days of Prayer. And it starts today and it goes through January 27th. And I'm really excited to speak to you today about prayer and fasting and the importance of prayer and fasting. Kind of lay a little bit of a foundation as to why do we pray? Why are we interested in seeking prayer more? And why are we interested in fasting? And to me, the word that they both come back to is this word connection. I believe that over the next 21 days, we're gonna get our connection right with God. I believe that we can become too connected to things of this world, and we can come disconnected to God. And I want to take the first month of the year, the first 21 days of the year, to say, this year, 2018, I'm gonna center on what's important. And I'm going to focus on what's important, and I'm going to connect to God this year. This is a year of connection with between me and God. And so that's what we're doing these 21 days, and I'm really pumped to be with you to talk you through it. So many of you were around a few months ago in Florida when Hurricane Irma blew through and left a lot of devastation. For most of us, though, in Lake County, the hardest part was having to go without power and to go without air conditioning. And a lot of us had to think creatively of how we're going to prepare our food, because all the hurricane snacks we bought before the hurricane were actually eaten before the hurricane. You know what I'm talking about? It's like the movie theater when you buy the popcorn, you eat it all in the trailer and you got nothing left for the movie. That's what we did with hurricane snacks. And so it was hard to figure out, how am I going to prepare all this food? What am I going to do? But the worst part, the most terrifying part for me, I don't know if you're in the same boat as I am, and honestly, I get a little choked up when I think about it, was the worst part, the most terrifying part was having to, again, I'm sorry, but having to watch my cell phone die in my hands as I'm holding it. Getting to see the battery life 100% down and down. I mean, I was grateful. At least when it got to one, I was able to say goodbye, but it died. And I was never sure if or when I would ever be able to revive it again. And many of you were in the same boat. It's very emotional to talk about, because we were left isolated, cut off, not connected, lonely. We had so many great Facebook moments that went undocumented that nobody will know about. To know what happened in the world, what's going on with Justin Bieber, Kim Kardashian. She's still good? She's still in the news yet? Yeah. I didn't know. It's hard. Hopefully you can tell I'm a little bit joking, but a little bit poking fun at our reliance on cell phones. But the truth of the matter is that just like with cell phones, we long to be connected. We want to be connected to other people, but we also want to be connected to God. And I want you to know that God has wired you for connection. Right? God is wired you. We're wired to be connected with him. And so as great as the connections we can have in this world, like Google is great, but God is greater, right? Facebook is fantastic, but God is more fantastic. Amazon Prime delivers promptly some of the time. God Prime delivers promptly all the time on his time. And as I was thinking about connection, I was thinking about how amazing it is that we can always be connected to God, and what a tragedy it is that there are people that don't know that they have that connection to God himself. What a tragedy it would be to go this whole world and know that I could have connected, I could have accessed, I could have utilized God. He could have been a part of my life, and I never actually knew it or never acted upon it. What a tragedy that would be. I was reading a lot of different articles this week, and one of the ones I ran across was that every year, billions of dollars go unclaimed in taxes. And I also saw that billions of dollars every year go unclaimed in lottery tickets. And there's been stories. There was one in Georgia several years ago of somebody that won $77 million, and the ticket never got turned in. In New York, there was another one where it was $30 million, never got turned in. But there's another story actually also from New York. It was just last year that a gentleman bought a lottery ticket and he put it in a shirt pocket and forgot he had bought it. And some of you know because you're active lottery players. Shame on you, by the way. I hope you feel judgment. No, not really. But some of you know that in the lottery, you only have 365 days to turn that ticket in. And this guy forgot he bought a lottery ticket, or he lost it, didn't know where it was. And on day 363, he happened, I don't know if he wore the shirt again or what, but he happened to put his hand in the pocket and pull out a ticket. And he found out this ticket that he forgot about was worth $24.1 million. And on day 363, he stopped everything else he was doing to go turn that ticket in. Right? And I thought, man, what a bummer that would have been if it was 3 days later. To wake up knowing that you are flat broke, but you could have been a millionaire. What a tragedy it would be to know you have this cash loads of money. And you never even knew that you had it. What a even bigger tragedy that we who have access and connection to God fail many times in our lives to truly connect with him when that's all God wants to do with you. We have full as children of God, as his sons and daughters, we have full access to God. And there is no payment plans required or payment plans. Neither one of those two are required. It's awesome. It's not God Prime where you got to pay a yearly amount, or God Hulu where you got to pay a certain amount to stream him at certain times. No, it is God 24/7. Whenever you want, you have access to, you have connection to the healer, the protector, the provider, the Prince of Peace, the one that brings joy, the one that brings hope, the one that brings fulfillment. That's the one we got connection to at any time, at any moment. And what a tragedy it is that many of us forget and just move on in our lives and stay connected to things that don't matter near as much. Cool thing about God, unlike the New York lottery system, is there's no expiration date. It can be day 366 today. God says, I don't care where you've been, how long you've been away, what you've been doing. You can connect to me right now. In fact, I'm ready, I'm waiting, and if you were here with us last Sunday, you would realize God does more than wait. He runs to you. And he sends his son to come and get you. He never leaves you. And this month is all about how do we connect back with that God. We connect so much to things of this world that my fear is we become disconnected from the source. Jesus says, drink from me. And you'll never thirst again. I feel like we're drinking from a whole lot of faucets, but we're still thirsty. God wants us to connect with him, and we want to connect with him. And that's what this 21 days is all about, is how can I connect greater with that God? Have you ever wondered why your prayers seem to go unanswered? Or maybe do you just feel like something's missing or not right, or should be working one way, but it's not working that way? There was a story in the Gospels. We're going to have it on the screens. If you'd like to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 14, there was a story where the disciples were experiencing something like this. And it says that when Jesus and the disciples came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And this was a little different because God had given the disciples authority in heaven to on earth heal people and have miraculous things going on. And so they've been doing these things. And so it's kind of off that it's kind of weird that this one doesn't work. And so Jesus says to them, here's why it's not working. He says, you unbelieving and perverse generation. He says, you are unbelieving and you are perverse. And we might say, well, Jesus, that's a little bit harsh. And Jesus keeps going. He says, how long shall I stay with you? How long do you want me to put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of the boy, and the boy was healed at that moment. See, Jesus is identifying a problem that exists with his disciples, but it also exists with every one of us, myself included, is that at the end of the day, we are unbelieving and we are perverse. Unbelieving and perverse. And the reason we are unbelieving is a connection problem. It's because we're not connected to God. Unbelieving happens from being not connected with him. In some ways, you know about yourself that you've not been as faith-filled. You've been a doubter of God at times, and you've been disconnected from his power and his ways. And God says, you're just not connected enough. You need to improve your connection with me. If you were closer to me, if you were reading your word on a daily basis, if you were praying with if you were worshiping, if you were coming close to me, then that connection might solve this problem of you being unbelieving. And the Bible is crystal clear, by the way, that when we have a connection problem, it's not God's problem. The Bible says that Jesus never leaves us or forsakes us. So guess what? If you're having a connection issue with God, it is not God's problem. It's because you've taken your gaze off of him. You can't even blame this connection problem on Comcast. And I hate Comcast. People that work there, if there's anyone here, you're great. But I hate Comcast. And if there was any other opportunity or option for internet services here at the Cross Mount Dora, we would pay a lot of money to do it. I can't blame my connection problem on Comcast. I can't blame it on God. It's my fault. It's my fault. And just like your phone can run out of data and you can feel like garbage, it's great when you get to Wi-Fi, right? I want you to know too many Christians feel like they're running out of data when God says, are you serious? I put little free hotspots all over the place. They got super fast Wi-Fi anytime. You connect anywhere you go. Anywhere. I mean, anywhere. Even that pit down low you got yourself into where no cell phone tower will reach, I will reach there, God says. Problem is a connection problem. We're not connected to God. But secondarily, the problem is we're perverse. And the reason we're perverse is because we are too connected to the world. So unbelieving is we're not connected enough to God. Perversion is we're too connected to the things of this world. And that has diluted and polluted our relationship with Jesus. It's perverse, it's twisted, it's messed up, it's backwards. You're not connected to me, you're too connected to things of this world. How true is that in your life that you realize, you know what, for whatever reason, I know deep down I ought to have a really strong connection with God, but I just, at this moment, I don't feel very connected to God, but yet I still feel very connected to the things of this world. Why do I connect to the things of this world more than I connect to God? Why would I want to connect to the things of this world when I can connect to God? Like, why do I want to stay connected to a team that went 0-16? Why am I too connected to that team that threw a parade yesterday in their city to celebrate their perfect season? It's pathetic. We're too connected to things of this world. Over the last year, me and a couple of guys have been hitting the gym a little bit. And that's come with a change in our diet. One of those guys is Mark. And let me just say, you don't wake up looking like Mark without work put in. I mean, that just doesn't happen. You know what I mean? That's hard work. And I look up to Mark in many ways with his physique and his physical just prowess. And as he was mentoring me, because that's what I need is Mark to mentor me in the gym. As he was mentoring me, he said, hey, it's not just about what you do in the weight room. It's about your diet. You gotta limit your calories. And so since he said that, he said, a person like you, 34 years old, you're built, you should be at about 2,000 calories a day, no more than that. And so what I realized is 2,000 is okay. I can do well on 2,000. I can eat a 1,000 calorie burrito from Chipotle for lunch, two slices of pizza, pepperoni for dinner, and wash it down with a Coca-Cola, and I will finish right under 2,000. So it's perfect. That's all that matters is that you hit under that calorie goal. What a deal. But the problem I found was that there was little to no nutritious value in the food that I was putting in my system. And so as a result, I was feeling a little empty, a little fatigued. And here's the reality, you need to listen in, is that we as people only have capacity for so much that we can take in. We can only take in so much. And I'm afraid that most of us are filling our time, filling our lives with things of this world that has zero to little spiritual value. And when we fill our lives up with all of these things, we get so connected with the things of this world. I see people getting really fired up and staying connected on all their different social media accounts, but they're still empty and alone. I see people filling up on all sorts of things of this world, good and bad things, but they're left anxious and empty and alone. It's a connection problem. We're not connected enough to God. We're too connected to the things of this world. And what you need to do at the onset of this 21 days of prayer is ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, some you might already know, two things. Number one, God, where am I not as connected with you that I need to be? And I've identified that for myself. It's prayer. And so I'm preaching not just to you today, but to me. And the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you, and the Holy Spirit will convict you of where you need to change. Now listen, the enemy will come and condemn you. The Holy Spirit will convict you. He wants you to turn. He doesn't mind killing a few things in you, but he always does it to make you alive in him. And so God, first question, Holy Spirit, where have I not been connected enough to you? And then second question, Holy Spirit, where have I gotten too involved in the things of this world, in the junk world, and the things that don't give me any spiritual value? What places do I go that I should not go to? What things do I see that I should not see? Like, what am I filling my life up with that is too connected, that I need to let go of? But what I love about Jesus is he doesn't just give us problems. He gives us solutions. And so the problem is we're unbelieving and perverse. It's a connection issue. But in Matthew 17:19, it says, then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So what's the deal, God? Why couldn't we do it? Jesus says, because you have little faith. You need faith in me. You need confidence in me. The problem is, again, unbelieving and perverse. And I would argue that Jesus says the solution is more faith. And so how do we get more faith? How do we become more faith-filled if that's the issue? And I believe that what God is calling us to do and the answers that he gives us in the New Testament, especially through Jesus, is prayer and fasting are the answers. And I want to show you how prayer and fasting solve the problems. Because first, the problem again is unbelieving and perverse. How do you solve being an unbelieving follower of Jesus? If unbelieving results as not being connected enough to God, then we need something that will connect us back to God. Guess what does that? Prayer connects us to God. Prayer connects us to God. And the more time you spend with your faith, the more it'll grow, the more confidence you have. Isn't that true in life? That the more time you spend with something, besides golf and parenting, the more time you spend with something, the more confidence you'll have in it. That's what God is saying. Spend more time with me. Guess what? Your faith will grow. Your confidence will rise. Your vision will get tighter. And it's not like you have to cross a line where I have to do this much and then God, then I'm connected enough. No, it's about where am I not connecting and how can I always stay connected to the source? Spending time with him, it helps us go from unbelieving to believing. And every one of us in this room, I guarantee you, can improve when it comes to our prayer life. I know that mine can be strong at times, but then it can easily go. And I also have seen the times in my life when my prayer and my walk with God is tight, it's when it's good, when it's close, my confidence rises, my faith is stronger, my vision is tighter, even for this church. God desires connection with you.
we have that connection with him because Jesus, God desired that connection so much that he sent Jesus to come down off his throne, his throne in heaven, outside of eternity, and to come live with one of us and to be among us. That's how much God desires connection with us, that he would send his son to be one of us. Prayer connects us to God. But what about, how do we solve the problem of being perverse, of twisting and messing things up in this world? Well, if prayer answers the one, if prayer is how we get connected back to God, then we need a solution that helps us disconnect from things of this world. So prayer connects us back to God. Fasting disconnects us from the world, from the things of this world. And it's one of the least known disciplines in the church. A lot of people know about prayer. Lost people know about prayer, but not many people know about fasting. Let me tell you a couple things that fasting is not. Fasting is not punishing you because God wants you to suffer. It's actually never a demand. And as I preach it today, and as I talk about going into 21 days of prayer and fasting, it's not a demand for me. It's an invitation to a greater life. Fasting is not a punishment. Because God wants you to suffer, not at all. Fasting is also, there are people that may do it this way, but in our sense and how we're using the discipline of fasting, it's not a weight loss plan. Fasting is about giving up things of this world and picking up things of God. That's what it's about. And that's what we're asking you to do for this season that we're in. And that's the questions I've been asking myself is, what would it look like if we, me personally, you, us as a congregation, were able to connect greater with God and disconnect from the things of this world? What could God do in our life? How cool would it be? And that's why we decided that in the first Sunday of 2018, we're going to give God our best this year. And we're going to come to him from the beginning and saying, God, we desire a greater connection with you. And what that means is we'll have to be less connected to the things of this world. But that won't matter because we'll be so connected, you'll be on cloud nine all year. And I hope as we talk about this, and as I give you a little more of the foundation of what prayer and fasting are over this week and the next two, I truly hope that you join us. It's an invitation for God to do something greater in your life. Again, we pray so we get connected back to God. We fast so we get disconnected from the things of this world. That's how it solves the problem. And you can go through scripture if you don't want to take my words for it. You should always go back and check what I say, by the way. And you can go back in scripture and see that fasting is a discipline that was practiced all throughout. All throughout the Old Testament, God's people fasted. There's David that fasted. There's Daniel that fasted. There's whole chapters about fasting in Isaiah. Joel talks a lot about fasting. Fast forward to the New Testament, we see Jesus went through a 40-day fast. And then also in the Sermon on the Mount, he doesn't say if his followers fast. It says when, that's you and me, his followers fast. The early church, the disciples would fast. Paul would make it a regular part of his spiritual disciplines to fast. So fasting is all over the New Testament, Old Testament, the Bible, but for whatever reason, it's a very little known and little practiced discipline in our culture. And so I want to show you how this works, how what fasting will do to you. Obviously, it'll disconnect you from things of this world, but let me get more practical. You, as a human being, you are a triune being. There are three parts to you. You are the only part of God's creation that has all three of these parts. Some of God's creation has one part, like a tree. A tree has a body. But it has no soul, it has no spirit. It does not experience emotions. A tree is a tree. It has a body. Animals have two parts. They have a body and they have a soul. So they have a body, but they also have a soul that has emotions. And so they have a tail that wags, a tail that tucks, and there's a soul in there. And this may break some of your hearts, but they don't have a spirit. Do dogs go to heaven? I don't know. Cats for sure don't. I know that. And I speak from experience because we cat sat for the last 2 weeks. They will not be with us in eternity. Praise the Lord. So cats know, dogs and Quaker parents, I don't know, maybe. Not sure on that. Don't send me an email, by the way. I'm just kidding. Cats are awesome for you. Really great for you. But not for me and my carpet. But anyway, animals have two parts. We have three: body, soul, and spirit. And you're, to explain this a little bit to you, your body is how you connect to yourself. It keeps you self-conscious. And so I feel my own pain. After I work out, I feel sore. If I don't eat, I'm hungry. I have appetites because I'm a man in this world. I have lusts and I have greed. I have certain things. My body has all these things in it. It's where I stay connected to me. And so if you have a self-connection issue, you need to fast from body things. That's probably why food is the best thing to fast from as we enter into these 21 days of prayer and fasting. Your soul, then it connects you to others. That's what makes us happy and sad. Our emotions are always connected to someone else. Soul fasting could be important as well. And so if there are things that are playing with your emotions, whether it's social media or Netflix or whatever it might be, then that might be a good fast for you as well. But your spirit, that's what we have that's unique. That's what connects us back to God. And all three of these, by the way, body, soul, and spirit, are at work in you at the same time. But one of these is always the strongest in you. And whichever one is the strongest, it dominates the other two. So when your emotions take over, it'll kill your body. You can get so depressed, it'll say, forget you, body, forget you, spirit. And when your body is in charge, that's dangerous, because it doesn't matter how you feel about it. My body wants it. My body will get it. I don't care how I feel. I'll sleep with who I want. I'll eat with what I want. That's when your body is in control. But my prayer is, man, what would it look like for us to have the spirit dominate the body and the soul? What would it look like for us to be like Romans 8, a man or a woman governed by God's spirit? Not being awakened to or giving into the fleshly desires that we so often do. What if we could be dominated by our spirit? And I think that's what happens in fasting. It's a twofer. That's how great it is. That's the beauty of it, is when you fast, you weaken the body and soul and you strengthen the spirit. And when you fast, you connect to God. And when the Spirit takes over, that's all we need. So I want to encourage you to fast with us. But I also want to warn you, it's not going to be easy. When you fast, especially if it's from food, let me tell you, your body will be weak. And your soul, you're going to be emotional. A lot of you are going to be hangry. You're not going to be fun to be around. You're going to have bad breath. Nobody's going to like you. Worst case. And what I don't want you to do is, I don't want you to just give up something without picking up something. Right? If the whole goal of fasting is to greater connect with God and to disconnect from the things of this world, then I need to be doing both. I don't want to just give up food for the sake of getting that food. I might lose a couple pounds and admit some of us might need that. That's fine. But I want to give up. I want to sacrifice something, and I want to pick up something for my spirit. I want to sacrifice something for my body, sacrifice something for my soul, and replace it with spirit. Does this make sense? And here's what can happen, though, is when you are weak, the devil will be right there. Some of you have been wrongly taught that the more I follow after God and the more I do what God wants me to do, especially if I get into this spiritual discipline of fasting, which kind of sometimes for me feels like more reserved for the really holy people, then of course God's going to have my back. And let me tell you, he will. But let me tell you also, the devil will be right there to remind you that you are hungry, that you are angry, that you got a bad attitude. He'll remind you, and he will say, by the way, you can replace all that with this over here. And the reason I know this is because when Jesus went into the desert to fast, guess who was right there with him? The devil. And if you're not careful and you actually do this with us, but don't pick up the spirit stuff, what can happen is temptations that you thought were beat, temptations you thought you got over months or years ago, will all of a sudden creep up, and you'll be tempted to pick that back up. And so I have to warn you, you got to be serious about not only giving up something, but picking up something And that's something you pick up, I hope, is prayer. Is reading your word. Is connecting to God. And that's why practically we're in this together. We're doing it together. And so for 21 days, literally 21 days in a row, we're going to meet here in the sanctuary. Monday through Friday, we'll be here from 6 to 6:45 with worship and prayer every night. Saturday, we'll be here from 8 a.m. to 8:45. Sundays, of course, are normal times, and we'll highlight prayer and fasting because we truly believe that we've got a connection problem. And in 2018, we want to be more connected to God than we've ever been. And so I want to give you a little bit of homework, three things. Some of you, this is the first time you're hearing it, so you got to pray about this and you got to figure this out. That's fine. Others of you have seen the videos come out and know that we've been thinking about this and you're already ready to go. That's cool either way. But I want to give you three things to think about. Number one is I want you to set an objective. I want you to ask yourself, why am I doing this? What's my goal? What's my objective in this? Is it because I want to connect greater to God? Is it because I want to declare my dependence on Him? Is it because I want to receive God's forgiveness of sins? Is it because I want to refocus on the eternal and what really matters? Is it because I want to invite the presence of God in my life? Is it because I want to believe God for specific needs? Whatever it might be, like, why are you fasting? Why are you fasting? It's important to think about that. So set an objective. And then secondly, come up with a plan. Decide what type of fast are you going to do and how involved are you going to be in this process with us? Again, it's not a demand, it's an invitation. Decide what fast you will do. And here's my advice. I would strongly advise you to give up food of some degree, because I believe that some of you may need a social media or a technology or a video game or some sort of fast to go as well. But I want to encourage you to do that in addition, because I really want these first 21 days of the year that we're doing this, I really want you to greater connect with God. And what that means is you got to give up something that's really a sacrifice that you really need. And we all need food. And there's different ways to do it, but I'm asking you to sacrifice something. In college, I was leading a college ministry, and we were going through a time where we were giving up fasting something. And my friend said he was fasting from the mega tub of popcorn at the local movie theater. And I didn't think that was a sacrifice, because you can get it large and just get free refills. Not a sacrifice. So I scolded him on it. Also, I don't want anyone going home today, especially guys, you know, baby, this is the year I'm going to connect with God. And pastor says I'm too connected from things of this world, and I need to fast from something. And so I just feel way too connected to our dishwasher. And so I'm giving it up. 21 days, I'm giving it up. It's not what I'm asking either. But I'm asking you to give up something and urging you a lot. For food to some degree. Some of you might do what's called a Daniel fast, which is fasting for 21 days and just having fruits and vegetables and juice. Others of you, more like me, are going to be fasting a couple of days a week, a clean fast for those couple of days each week over the 3 weeks. And whatever it might be for you, I want you to pray about it and ask God, what does this look like for me? By the way, we have resources online at thecrossmountdoor.org/21. And then we've also got prayer and fasting resources at the info desk that'll help you understand a little bit more and practically teach you a little bit about what this could look like for you. But I want to ask you to be a part of it. And so not just decide what type of fast you'll be, but how involved will you be? Will you be at our prayer services? We'd love to see you there. And I think you're going to need it. I think you're going to need to replace what you're giving up with something spiritual, with something from God. And then number three, I would say this: after you've set an objective and after you've decided what you're going to do, expect results. Expect God to do something. If God never ever did a thing for us again, we'd be good, because He gave us Jesus and that's all we need. But the God that we connect with is a good Father that loves to give His children good gifts. And we can expect God to show up in a mighty way. In fact, in Isaiah 55:8-9, it's a whole chapter, 58:8-9, it's a whole chapter on fasting. And it says God will do three things. It says, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Some of you are fasting for healing of some sort. Healing in my bones, healing in my marriage, healing in my family, healing in my finance, healing in my work, healing in whatever it might be. Some of you are fasting and God will bring healing, I believe it. Then he says, then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And so he's saying, not only will you have healing, but I believe some results you should expect are righteousness. Not that we're going to be perfect because we never will, but we'll be on right track again. And so many of us need that as we start a new year. Just to know that I'm on the right track with God. It's been all about me last year. Last season was all about me. But as of right now, at least I'm on the right track. And that'll lead you to holiness. God's righteousness will lead you to holiness. And so God will give you healing. He'll give you holiness. And then it says, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. Healing, holiness, and help. I believe God will answer. I believe those are the results we can expect. And so I truly do invite you to be a part of this with us. I believe it's going to be powerful for us. And I want you to be along. And just a couple minutes left, I want to share with you why I personally am excited, give you a little bit of my heart behind it. And it boils down to that I don't have the prayer life that I ought to have. That there are many times that I'm not connected to God like I ought to be. And the spirit side of me wants it so much. But the body and soul sometimes can pull me away. And I've got it as a personal, but also as a church goal. My number one thing above anything else is that I want to establish a strong prayer culture in me and in this church, because I believe we have a long way to go. And I believe in spite of what I would say is a weak effort on your pastor's part to be involved and immersed in prayer on a regular basis, in spite of all of that, we've seen God do. God's taken our congregation from 70 people on a Sunday to 800 people on a Sunday. I'm honored to stand at the helm of a movement where from the beginning we've baptized hundreds of people, including 39 last week alone. Woo! And Allison and I have talked a little bit at home and in the past, and she's always nervous, by the way, when I start with that. She's encouraged and challenged me because Allison knows the real me. You guys know this me. And this me is great. He's a good guy, right? But the real me is not always that guy. Am I sounding schizophrenic a little bit? Okay. But she challenges me. She says, don't you want to be the real deal? I want to challenge you. Don't you want to be the real deal? Church, don't we want to be the real deal, not just faking it? Not just going on our own fuel, but on God's. And I had this image come back to me this morning of a fuel tank in a car. And in the newer ones, it has not just like the little bars where you see half, quarter, but it actually tells you exactly how many miles you can go before you need to fill up. Right? So many of us take that down like to the last few. We're really counting on that to be right. And when I fill my tank up, it tells me I can go 400 miles. And when it's halfway, I go 200 miles. When it's a quarter of the way, you do the math, I can do 100 miles. And I feel like God said to me this morning, Zach, I've taken you 100 miles every year. Every year. By the way, I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to. And I feel like as he said that, what God was saying to me is, Zach, you've been operating in your connection with me at about a quarter tank. A quarter tank. What would it look like? What would it look like if we gave God more? If we connected to him greater? And I felt God saying, I can go another 100 miles this year, Zach. But I could also go 400 if you want to go 400. I can go more. I can do more. And there was this passion and desire for God that, yeah, I want to see you do more. I want to see you do more. And not only do I want to be that connected with you, God, so I can see results and so we can see the kingdom of God grow and celebrate lost sons and daughters coming back to him, but also my heart this morning, my spirit was, I want to be greater connected with you, God, just because I love you. I don't care if you take the church 100 miles or 400 miles. I just want you to take me with you. I don't care where you go. What I care about most is me and you. And this will be good. I care about you, God. Because you cared about me first. And I'm sorry. As your pastor, but as a child of God, I repent. God's got greater things for me and for all of us. And I bet God's got greater things for you. And if you look at your fuel tank and how you're connecting with God, I don't think I'm the only one that's operating lower than we need to be. Will you stand? So we're going to need God. We're going to need his power. We're going to need his presence if we really do what God has called us to do these 21 days. So let's pray. God, we love you so much. And we are truly sorry, Lord, that we aren't as connected as we ought to be. Your word says that out of the overflow of our hearts, the mouth speaks. God, I don't want a word to come out of my mouth, off of this platform or stage, off of my mouth in my home that's not from you, Lord. I want to be so connected to you, Lord, that everything I say is from you, for you, about you, through you, to you. God, we need you now. We need you now more than ever. We want to see you do great things, God. We want to be a part of that, Lord. We thank you that we get the opportunity to be a part of that. But God, we need your power in this place. We need your power, Lord, because we're embarking on a time when, God, we're going to be weak and we're going to be angry and we're going to be cranky, God. And we need your Holy Spirit to be with us. God, we need your Holy Spirit to take away anything that the devil might want to bring against us. God, we need you to be fighting stronger for us. God, I pray this year that you would give us a burning desire for connection with you, Lord Jesus. And that out of that connection with you, we would have a desire to reach the lost like you had a desire to come and reach us who once were lost and now are found by the blood of Jesus Christ. God, fill us with your power. Fill us with your spirit, Lord. Spirit, come in this place. Out of the overflow of our hearts, may our mouths speak. Out of the overflow of our relationship, may we praise you. May we worship you. May we give you all the glory. May your love run out. May it pour out over us. May it pour out into this city and beyond, Lord Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We desire you, Lord. We want to connect with you, Lord, because you are worthy. Every time you're worthy. And when you speak, Lord, we catch our breath. Let us catch our breath right now, early in 2018. We catch our breath. We stumbled. We fell. But we're back up. And we're connecting to the source this year. We're connecting to you, Jesus, so that others might connect with you. Come on, lift your hands and surrender right now. And give God this year. Give God this 21 days. Give God your heart right now. Come on, you've been trying to fill your life up with other things. You've been trying to fill your life up. But God says, I'm the only one that can fill you up. I'm the only one that can make you never thirst again. I am the source. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. There is no one besides me. Come on, let's worship this Jesus. Come on, let's ask for the Spirit to come. Raise our voices in here. Let's go. Come on, let's build it up in this place. We need His Spirit. Come on.